the first apologies from the Minister Molewa. That she's having some engagements in Pretoria. And therefore she won't be able to be part of the meeting. The second apology is from the Deputy Minister, Honorable Thompson. She is on her way to attend the CPD COP18 in Mexico. And I'm also told that the DDG the secretary says the DG also called this morning to say that she won't be able to make it, and the person who's from the department from the biodiversity section is on her way coming, is on his way coming, and I know that the DDG Shoni, they are probably busy now preparing for Mexico CBD if they are not there already. So they may not come. So those are the apologies from the department. I see most members are here. Of course, those who always come to the portfolio committee, who are always present. The usual suspects are here. I don't see Honorable Kekana. We haven't received the apology, so maybe she's still on her way. You are welcome, Honorable MEC. We will, if there are no further apologies, we will then take this opportunity then to hand over to yourself to introduce to introduce your team and also to take us through the presentation. But before that, I must say that you, maybe before you speak to the presentation, you must then speak to the letter of apology that you send us. We scheduled a portfolio committee a while back. Unfortunately, you couldn't be here. And we decided that we must have a follow-up. The reason why we had to, we thought it better that we must engage with yourself is because of the issues that emerged when we met with the SANParks to receive a presentation on the wildlife economy. So there were issues emerged that relates to the donation that was made by the provincial government to some individuals. So we thought that it's necessary that we engage directly with yourself. We know that we have got colleagues in the provincial legislature. We requested them to give us a report because we understood that there was at some point there was a report that was given to them. So we did write the letter to the chair of the portfolio committee. Unfortunately, to date, we have not received any report. Hence, we felt that we needed to invite yourself directly to come here so that we can have an engagement with yourself on the issues that that were raised. So that is in a way of background, Honorable MEC, and context to why we are receiving this briefing from yourself. So I'm going to hand over to you to introduce your team and then to proceed with the presentation.
Thanks, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members and colleagues from the department. I'm Anketse Tlhape, MEC responsible for rural environment and agriculture development in the Northwest. Chair, I'm with a team here. On my right, I have the director responsible for biodiversity, Ntate Jonathan Denga. From my left is the head of department, Dr. Poncho Mokaila. We are also accompanied by Dr. Mahome, that is a member of the Parks Board responsible for conservation. We also with Ms. Malebogo Thapelo, who is the manager in the Office of the Chief Director Environmental Services. At the back is our PLO, Ntate Rainy Mutsumi. So we would have loved to have brought the CEO, Parks Board, but there's a portfolio committee also scheduled in the province that are dealing with concessions. So the other team members and the board members are appearing before the portfolio to deal with issues of land concessions. But in the main, this is the team that we could bring together today here. On the issue of, for starters, Chair, like we have indicated, the letter of apology. We sincerely apologize as a department even today to your good self that we could not make it on the day that we were scheduled for us. And I must indicate, Chair, that I have indicated, which was not formal when we met, that the invitation that we received did not come to our attention in time. Only when we picked this on the media release statement, we realized we would have been summoned to appear in the before the portfolio committee. I immediately spoke to our chairperson of the portfolio and indicated that no, she has received a letter requesting information a month ago or so. From my office, there was Ntavi who received a call from for sure the secretary from the portfolio committee, and he just said the MEC won't be in office on Thursday and left it there. So that is why we wrote the letter and apologized. And we have subsequently even indicated to our chairperson and the chief whip in the legislature that we squarely take the blame. We want to say we did not receive this and that. Let's acknowledge receipt of letter and say in any way we will never contemplate Parliament. We will never undermine the authority of this portfolio committee because it is in the interest of the portfolio committee and the people of South Africa to know the truth. Hence, Chair, we subsequently wrote to your good self and submitted even forthrightly the information that was requested that members should have the opportunity to go through the information that was requested before even we come to appear, just to familiarize themselves, trying to help in any other way that we could, because we understood there has to be issues why we are called. There might be information that has been requested. And we have since even submitted it again to the chairperson of the portfolio committee that this is the report that we have sent through, and asked your good self to say we are ready when the committee is ready to see us to come and present our story to the portfolio committee.
Honorable MEC, we, from my office, we did accept the apology in good faith that you were sent, and I'm sure that the honorable members would not have a problem accepting that apology. I don't want to get into the issue whether the information came earlier or late, but I think there are a couple of lessons that we can learn out of that going forward. But we have accepted the apology in good faith. And I'm sure I was speaking on behalf of the members here that we do accept that apology. And therefore you can then proceed with a presentation or invite any of your team members who has been assigned then to do that.
No, thanks, Chair. If you move your slides, Mr. Tedenga. We have just briefly been requested, Chair, that we put this in a PowerPoint presentation. The introduction just deals with the matter that I've just handled, how we came to appear here today, the process that has unfolded, and we have indeed received on Friday, the 25th November, a request to put our presentation in a PowerPoint and rescheduled to appear here today. Chair, the Portfolio Committee has sent the following questions that they have posed to the Department. One, circumstances under which donations were made. Two, the policy used and the date the policy was adopted. Whether the Department had donated similar high-value species in the past and who were the recipients. We have also been requested to provide information on the details of the species available in various parks prior and after the donation, whether there was any impact on the viability and the breeding potential of the remaining species, the capacity, human resources, and land of the individuals and or company that received the animals, details of individuals who constitute SARGBA, the company that received the donation. At this point in time, Chair, through you, allow me to give the head of department to deal with the first questions. We have structured that the different members, team members that are here, will handle the responses as we moved on. Head of Department, Ntate Poncho Mokaila, will deal with the first question that has been posed to us. Ntate Mokaila.
Thank you, Honorable MEC. Good morning to Honorable Chairperson, the members of the committee, and the colleagues that are here this morning. Honorable Chair, in handling the first question, our understanding is that the circumstances under which donations were made seeks to find out as to the series, the sequence of events, and the level of decision that took the department as well as our entity towards making the decision to implement the game donation towards the specific beneficiaries which were identified. Now,
Honourable Member at the back, I thought you are part of the staff there. I didn't see you. If you can be closer here, Honourable Member. So sorry to interrupt there. I just realized when I was seated here that I made a mistake. The Honourable Member, I missed him. He's in and out sometimes, but he's here. So he must sit where the members are seated. DG, sorry, can proceed.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Chair, the storyline begins began on the 6th of November 2014, wherein as a department and as government we received a written request for assistance on game donation through wildlife, which was submitted to the Northwest Parks Board and Tourism Board on that particular date. The similar request was also shared with the department. So in other words, this was initiated, the whole process was initiated by the South African Rare Game Breeders Association. So the similar request is then identified and packaged as Annexure 1, which would reflect the date that was in which the letter was sent through, which is the 6th of November 2014. And it also, the same letter is accompanied by a presentation in a way of a proposal. That proposal entailed the whole background around what the South African Rare Game Breeders Association is in terms of its vision, its mission statements, the partnership that are existing in as far as SARGBA is concerned, the founding members that are associated and even the employees to SARGBA, the current breeding programs, because SARGBA is, it didn't just begin with the game donation to be a player in the wildlife industry. They have been in existence. So the current breeding programs that they have been operating, the species that I have and the quantities that I have, and the location of the, you know, the farm, which is in Swartbergens, Ketlen River, the Eland farm. At the same time, having given that same background, SARGBA was also proposing some sustainable wildlife transformation, and they had tabulated the proposal in terms of that particular presentation, and to also go into the details on how the transformation structure and the shareholding that they proposed would look like, and in that regard also the number of animals that would be associated with the game donation in terms of the species and the number of those species, the capital required in terms of really starting this particular project, and the current value of assets that they have put in place, because they have an existing farm, the Eland farm in Swartbergens, Ketlen River, the infrastructure that would go into that, the animals that they are existing in the farm, and, you know, totaling that into rents and cents to say this is the value of assets that they have as SARGBA. And then, having received that assistance, as a department, we didn't just go cold on the request. We then took the next step. We approached the Provincial Executive Council through an executive memo that was undertaken by our honorable MEC of the department, wherein we were requesting to, in the first place, to investigate this particular proposal. And at that stage, Executive Council of the province went through that request, and permission was granted that we perform that particular, you know, investigation. And indeed, as a department, in partnership with the passport, we put up our expertise together, and we went on farm on loco. We examined the infrastructure, we examined the animals, we looked at the entire process, and on the 3rd of March, as a department, under the directorship of our MEC, we issued a due diligence report, which was submitted to the Executive Council, wherein we were finding out that there were positive and good prospects of this particular, you know, proposal that could be followed on by the department. Now, against this due diligence report, which is attached as Annexure 2 in the dossier, on the 25th of March 2015, the Executive Council of the province granted an approval to the department that this particular project should be, you know, implemented. And there were certain conditions that were also, you know, attached to that particular approval. In the first place, that the department jointly with our entity, we needed to develop a costed business plan. Secondly, we also needed to look at the policies, current policies that are existing, and also to where there's a need to review, we could review and to a point where we could have approval of that game donation policy. Selection of beneficiary, that was also a task in our hands. There were also envisaged that in institutionally there would be agreement that will have to be taken, you know, to be signed off, and that we also need to provide oversight over the signing of those agreements around all the relevant parties. And also the department was also tasked to develop a monitoring and a report, monitoring and evaluation plan in such that, I mean, we could set certain strategic focus areas for this particular project. We could also set specific indicators which would be measurable to an extent that we could see whether this project, you know, is bearing fruits for that and so on. So the whole approval is attached as Annex 3 into the dossier that was submitted to the honorable members of the committee by the department. And then moving on in implementing the Executive Council resolution, given the conditions that were stipulated over the approval, we then as a department appointed what we called the Project Steering Committee, which was in the main comprising of the departmental key people within the department that would, you know, be in the biodiversity environment, and we, the veterinary services. We also incorporated members of the SARBA into that particular steering committee, such that they could then look into, you know, how these decisions that were taken could be implemented, and indeed, that particular, I mean, as appointment of those steering committee, an example of that is attached as an extra four. So we have the steering committee, then that would then, on a month-to-month basis, move on to put up, move from concept to put up plans, and in some instance then to start implementing those plans that were undertaken. That is an extra four. Now, because we had, as a department, been given, provided a mandate then, and an approval to implement, we went on during our budget speech vote, which took place around May in 2015, wherein we, our Honorable MEC made a pronouncement, and that pronouncement was linked to the new vision that needed to be instilled in terms of, you know, ensuring game transformation or wildlife transformation in the sector. And that particular pronouncement was made, and at that stage, the matter then got into the public domain, because anybody interested in the sector, anybody interested in what was pronounced by the MEC then would then start to make inquiries. In the same that went with the pronouncement was the fact that already, because we had received an approval, we also pronounced that the SARBA has been identified as one of the partner to implement that project, which is in Ketleng, Swartberghans, on the Eland farm. Chair, as part of the progress, a costed business plan was jointly then developed by the steering committee with the interested beneficiaries. At this stage, Chair, I want to say that having pronounced this publicly and this being in the public domain, people started making inquiries in the department. And at that stage, they identified those that we are saying these are the beneficiaries, wrote to express interest to the department in terms of really participation in this particular game transformation that has been identified at Ketleng. And at that stage, we, as a department, we could only at that stage create a link between those people that were expressing interest with those with SARBA as a vehicle that had been, you know, proposed, you know, to implement transformation. And that particular matter took a route wherein the specific beneficiaries then engaged with SARBA directly to a point where there was some, you know, agreement to say, look, there could be a joint venture BEA agreement that gets implemented, which we want to at this stage also say that it totally, it would not entirely depend on the department to say who are these beneficiaries, but to a great extent, it was also, the owner was also upon the SARBA to say, are they amenable to really accept those people as partners? Now, the costed business plan was then further on, adopted by the Joint Steering Committee for implementation. The costed business plan is also part of the package. It's got several chapters. There are five chapters. It talks to the finance. It talks to infrastructure. So the whole comprehensive plan was developed in that regard. And on the 7th of June in 2015, the second condition was also met, that a joint venture game donation agreement was agreed between Northwest Parks Board and the BEE joint venture game donation, which had SARBA who had agreed then to incorporate the beneficiaries into that, and then transforming Sarba into a holding company. So the joint, game donation agreement was then signed between Northwest Passport as well as the SARBA, including also the department, because the department also has a role to play in terms of providing support, coordination, and also support in terms of the regulatory environment as it would appear on the biodiversity and also the veterinary support. And then the Department of REIT and as well as SARBA commenced then finally and signed off that on the 29th of February 26. But when you look into the agreement, the clause number 3 of that particular agreement, there was a clause that would say this particular agreement came into effect sometimes in June 2015, regardless of the date of the signature, because in between there was ongoing, operations, there were ongoing consultation, there were ongoing activities that were, meant to improve this particular document. So I just want to express it outrightly that the date of the signature of the agreement as well as the effect were covered in those specific terms. And on the 23rd of June, because the implementation of any project in any entity would also seek to derive a board resolution. And on the 23rd of June 2015, the Northwest Parks Board gave a resolution, or an approval was granted by the chairperson of the Parks Board over this game donation on the basis of the available breeding stock and in line with the agreement that was signed both by the tripartite, by the SARBA as a holding, the REIT as the department, and also the Northwest Parks Board. Proceeding further, on the 3rd of July, Chair, in 2015, SARBA signed a partnership and shareholding agreement with the BEE partners, because that was also one of the conditions that was granted by EXCO. A partnership shareholder agreement with BE Partners and Employee Trust to form the South African Rare Game Breeders Holdings. So this particular shareholding structure, it was structured in a manner that the BE Partners would get 50% shareholding and the investor would get 50% holding. And on the BE Partners, the 40% then would go to the identified beneficiaries, while the 10% would be part of the employee trust, because SARBA also do have about 40 employees in terms of the job creation and employment that they are creating on the farm. So the employee trust then was meant then to bring in all the 40 employees as beneficiaries into the 10% as a shareholding over the 50% that is awarded for BE Partners, while the 50%, so it was a 50-50, shareholdings that was structured. Chair, we have also, as part of the documents that we have submitted to the Portfolio Committee, attached the game donation policy, Annexure 10 and also Annexure 11. I think they are slightly twisted. Annexure 11 would be the old game donation policy, which was used for purposes of this particular transaction. And Annexure 10 would then be the newly revised game policy that was, implemented for subsequent cases that would arise in terms of game donations. But the specific question on which policy was used, I think we will entertain it as we go along. And then furthermore, as part of the conditions by EXCO, we also developed a monitoring and evaluation plan for this particular project, and this was approved on the 30th of March in 2016 through the project steering committee. And Chair, in terms of the monitoring and evaluation plan, we had identified the five strategic focus areas under which this particular project would be monitored on and evaluated on. One was the training and transformation. Secondly, it was the financial sustainability. Thirdly, it was the breeding success, the animals that have been donated, whether the numbers are going to be increasing and what species are going to be increasing and so on. Fourthly, it was the regulatory environment in terms of all the permitting that has to take place, all the diseases that has to take place, I mean, to be controlled in that, and also issues of institutional governance to say how would then, would we institutionally, you know, get to monitor this particular project to a point where, you know, EXCO, portfolio committees, and even the Parks Board itself would derive specific reports in order to assess progress of this particular report. So we have attached this monitoring and evaluation plan of this project as Annexure 12. Moving on, Chair, on the 23rd of October 2015, the department made appearance before the portfolio committee to respond to certain questions, because at some stage as a department there were a lot of questions in the public domain, and at some stage we made the initial appearance before the portfolio committee, and second, and we also made a second, and there were specific questions that were, you know, were posed to the department, and we responded in our view adequately to those questions, such that the impression that the department has not been never met with the, you know, portfolio committee at the provincial level is not entirely correct. We have made two appearances before the portfolio committee, and to an extent that it is possible that there could be a specific report that the portfolio committee could process on this particular matter. So we have appeared before the provincial portfolio committee. It was unfortunate about the national portfolio committee that there were some circumstances towards our non-appearance. And we made a specific presentation. We've got a copy of that particular presentations, the questions that were asked, and the responses that we provided to the portfolio committee on that. So now, Chair, this project, while it may have been implemented from, say, June in 2015 and moved on, it was subjected to normal monitoring by the project steering committee on a monthly basis to put up plans to also monitor execution and so on. But it was further on also subjected to internal audits, to regulatory audit by the Auditor General. There were specific questions, there were concerns that they raised in terms of requests for information. And as a department with the entity, we adequately then responded, we clarified those issues to an extent that, Chair, if we were to look into the annual report for 2015-16, both for the Northwest Parks Board and also for the department, there would not be any findings that would be linked to this particular project. We are not saying everything is perfect, but we are also saying we have, as a department and the entity, really took it upon ourselves to ensure that we really put systems in place in terms of really implementation of this particular project. So at this stage, I think these are our attempts as a department then just to respond to the question that was saying what were the circumstances under which this particular transaction or game donation was done, and that then seeks to then respond to question one. I'm going to pause and hand over to the MEC to direct them. Through you, Chair.
No, thanks.
Oh, sorry.
Thanks, HOD. Through you, Chair, I would request that we move further, if you allow us, on the second, third, and fourth question. The second question, that the policy used and the date the policy was adopted. Third, whether the department had donated similar high-value species in the past, and who were the recipients, and the details of the species available in the various parks. No, the details will be handled by the Director of Biodiversity. At this point in time, Chair, I would request Dr. Mahome, who is the member, like I indicated, of Parks Board, responsible for conservation, to handle those two.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, the MAC has mentioned, and particularly the HOD, that here we are dealing with the game donation policy, two that we have provided to the committee, the old one that was in existence, and the one that has been approved in 2015. At the heart of the game donation policy is an enablement for Northwest Parks Board to be able to provide game or wildlife to communities and to other people that are looking for donations from Northwest Parks. The department, in terms of that, the issue then becomes the third question that has been asked. And in terms of the third question is whether we have donated animals in the past and who were the recipients. We have donated animals in the past, mainly members of the community in the Northwest and to a farm in the Northwest called Mojamula and to the Sakhba breeders. But very importantly, and I think to note, in 1995, the Northwest government was the first in South Africa to donate 5 white rhino to Botswana that went to the Kama Rhino Sanctuary. And subsequent to that, there has been various donations from South Africa at large, Sandparks in particular, to augment the population in Botswana. And as we are talking now, the population, the white rhino population in Botswana alone is standing at about 200. At the heart of game donations is something, Chair, that you've talked to, the Convention on Biological Diversity. Article 1 of the Convention of Biological Diversity talks to, one, the major objective, which is to conserve biodiversity. The second objective of the convention is to make sure that any use of biodiversity is sustainable. The third is to make sure that there is equitable and fair sharing of benefits that are arising out of the biodiversity resources. In South Africa, we have a history, and in terms of that history, the disadvantaged communities are only limited to conservation of biological resources. They have not yet been able to move to number two, sustainable use of resources. I'm talking about within protected areas. And number three, to getting benefits that are arising out of that. The game donation policy, therefore, was seeking and is still seeking to make a huge step into this arena to make sure that there is transformation within the game industry and that the ordinary members of the community that were not beneficiaries of the previous policies of wildlife enjoyment are now able to enjoy that. We will recall that in South Africa, wildlife was deemed to be res nullius, meaning wildlife belongs to nobody. However, in 1963, with the promulgation of the Fencing Act 31 of 1963, white farmers just simply fenced their farms, and all the kudus and impalas that were there became their property. So game donation has had a long history within this country. With the game donation policy, it is an attempt by the Northwest Province and Northwest Parks to make sure that there is major transformation within the sector. Accordingly, our MEC and the Premier enacted a new act of Northwest Parks Board in 2015, and in that act, a major section of the act talks to transforming the wildlife industry so that the new entrants can be able to participate in that. So basically, that's about the heart of it, MEC. Thanks.
Thanks, Dr. Mahume.
Okay.
Are you done, Dr.?
Yes, we have a list here, but I think maybe it will come when they ask questions of the animals.
All right.
It's in the brochure.
All right. Yeah. Question 4, Chair, through you. The details of the species available in various parks prior and after the donation.
Okay.
I was asking Dr. Mahome. Okay. Is Dr. Mahome?
Yes.
To switch off the speaking. Maybe you must just talk to the list so that maybe there won't be question on that.
Thank you, Chair. In terms of the annexure on the list, in 1997, we donated 3 lions to Oklahoma Zoo. In 1998, there was a further donation of 3 female white rhino, and this was to strengthen what was already there, and I've already talked to that. That in 1995, where we introduced 5 white rhino into the Kama Rhino Sanctuary. So the 3 was to strengthen what was already there. We've donated lions to Ezenvelo KZN. We've donated lions again to Ezenvelo KZN. We've donated to Angola 16 elephants. We've donated to SANParks 4 spotted hyena. We've donated to Swaziland 3 lions. We've donated to SANParks and KZN spotted hyena wild dogs. And the list goes on. And I can continue to read the whole list. But the heart of it is that in terms of wildlife management, we also have a responsibility, Chair, to circulate the genetic health of the animals. So you would ask yourself, why would there be a need to donate wild dogs to SANParks or to KZN or those things, where animals become limited and threatened in terms of their viability? We have a responsibility to swap them around and to make sure that they remain healthy. So one key aspect of it is to make sure that in terms of the Convention on Biological Diversity, which South Africa ratified in 1995, we continue to make sure that there is healthy conservation of biodiversity and that species health is maintained. So that's the heart of that.
Thanks, Chair. Dr. Denga, question 4 and question 5.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, members. If you look at question 4 that talks to the number of game species in various parks within the province, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Mahome has touched on the issue of sustainability in the utilization of these wildlife species in the parks or in the reserves. And then he did mention to say that the other aspect that we have not really, you know, been able to put our foot on is on the benefits, you know, how do we derive benefits of these species to our communities. And then if you look at the issue of sustainability, it involves us, you know, now as the people who are given this mandate to manage these species in a sustainable manner, to be able to ensure ourselves before we can say, here is the utilization pattern we can be able to employ to benefit our communities in this particular regard. You would have noted that there are certain few species that were actually, you know, involved or that were actually, you know, looked upon when we had this request, and I'm sure that they're in the annexures there. But if you look at the wildlife census prior to, you know, the donation, you know, that was done and after the donation, you can refer back to Annexure 15 in the PEG. But I want to touch mainly on the species that were actually requested, you know, with this particular donation request when it came to us. There was a request of about 210 buffaloes, you know, for donation purposes that came to us. And then when we looked into it within the parks, we had about 334 buffaloes that were there. And then there was about 26 that were in Molemane Ai, which reserve, and there was about 35 in Wurakalo. With Salona, there was about 10, Mafeking, there was 61, and Pilani's Back, there was about 201. So all in all, in total, there were about 334, and we could only be able to, you know, donate about 50 at that particular time.
And the civil antelope that were requested also, there were about 210 in the request. And then, of course, also care was taken to do it, you know, stock take. And then we had about 103 civil antelope within the park. And then we had about 48 in the Burakalolo. And the Khaswane, we had about 51. And in Pilanesberg, there were 4 that were running. And then in that instance, we could only afford to give about 20. And then the next species that was requested for was the roan antelope, of which there was a request of about 210 animals. And then unfortunately, those we could not afford to give any, as we only had 3 left, you know, in a park, and those were only running in Khaswane Nature Reserve. And then there's about 613 nyalas that were requested. And when we looked, we take our stock, we found that we only have about 32 in Burakalolo, of which we could only afford to give 10 at that particular time. So basically, if you look into it, you know, the question was about, you know, the sustainability and you know, the consideration thereof before, you know, there could be any allocation of particular animals or species to, you know, to the, for donation purposes. We have a team of scientists within the park, and then they are there just to ensure, you know, the monitoring of the species, you know, their performance on an annual basis. And then they are able to say that on a year-to-year, they are able to say that this is the number of animals per species that you can be able to, you know, to utilize from the park. And of course we use them, you know, in various manners, of which game donation is one of the, you know, area in which we dedicate these animals. And with that, trying to make it short, let me see, thank you very much for that.
So, sorry, I don't see lions, yeah? Not lions, rhinos. On annexure 15.
No.
Or they were not donated?
No, there was no rhino donated.
Okay.
Yeah, there was no rhino donated. I only touched
on the only
that
numbers.
We, yes.
Okay.
That, you know. Okay. Maybe if just to also look into the value of the species themselves. A total of, you know, standard price, you're looking at about 146,480, of which total cost of market price will be around 180,190. And I'll go down with them species per species. The standard value of buffalo, you know.
Maybe let's leave the values.
Should we leave the value?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Let's get to the next question. I'm also considerate of time, but we need to finish it.
And then question 5, actually, you know, it just touches to what I just said now, to say that we have a team of scientists that, you know, assure us before we can decide on the utilization pattern of the animals. And then one of the things is that the reason we do that is to ensure that the sustainable patterns are not, you know, in a way detrimental to the species that we have within the park. And with this donation, as it is, there has not been any negative impact to the species that are left or to the animals that are left within the park. And then our monitoring continues, of course, in it. And then where the animals were going also, the impact that we did not only look at the impact on the animals that, you know, in the parks, you know, that are left, but we also look into investigating what we call the habitat suitability, where the animals were going, where we have donated the animals to. And then that study was done and conducted by our scientists as well. And then
you know, if you look into Annexure 16, you will see there's a report that is, you know, conducted or that is attached there in the report, in the pack, that talks to the habitat stability of all the species that we have moved to the, you know, area of donation. Thank you, MEC.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Dr. Mahume, back to you with question 6, and the HOD will end with question 7.
Chair, just before Dr. Mahume, firstly, I must apologize that we are late. Unfortunately, we had our own meeting, so we had to join you after our meeting. It is difficult for us to follow because all of us from agriculture, we don't have the annexures. The only thing we have is the copy of the presentation. So it's a little bit difficult. If you can just arrange that while they are busy responding, maybe you admin staff for that site must just give us copies if possible.
Okay. I was going to formally introduce yourself. So you have done the honors to introduce yourself from agriculture. We did send an invite seeing that the issues might be similar that we are dealing with. For agriculture then to join us if they are available. I was going to introduce that. I see the team from agriculture is here. I must acknowledge you and thank you for your presence. And the DG as well from agriculture is here. You are welcome, DG, and the members. It's a bit bulky document. We will see how we go along going forward. I've got one extra copy with me. I think I can ask Chileka too. Do you have how many?
Five.
So it's fine. Okay. So it looks like we've got sufficient now. Chileka, you can return back mine if you've got more. All right. Dr. Mahume, maybe if you can just summarize so that we don't take more than enough on the presentation itself.
Chair, I'll do that. Thanks very much, and I'll be brief. I think just to emphasize a point in terms of the SAHBA contract. The SAHBA contract is a major wildlife transformation experiment by the Northwest Province and by the Northwest Parks. In terms of wildlife sustainability, there are two key aspects to that, just to add on to what my colleague was talking about. One is the animals that are remaining behind, but two, in terms of the contract, we Northwest Parks Board will be owning 50% of the progeny of the animals within the contract. So when the animals are performing well, we are actually also, by default, improving the viability of the stock. So we've not actually like 100% given everything. In terms of the contract, when the animals are performing better, 50% of them belong to Northwest Parks and will help Northwest Parks with further empowerment programs. I just wanted to emphasize that part. If we then come to the capacity of human resources and the ability of SAHBA in terms of this, there is just one simple analogy that I can give. Within South Africa, the private landowners own 3 times what the state owns in terms of the size of protected areas. Between themselves, they own about 20 million hectares. The state in South Africa owns arguably between 5 and 7 million because some of it now is under communities. In terms of high-value species, almost all the high-value species in South Africa are within private hands. The only high-value species that the state still has in high numbers is an elephant, because nobody's interested in them. We don't know what to do with them. They are too big. You need an area bigger than 10,000 hectares to start looking at putting elephants inside it. And then the white rhino. Within
Chair. If he can assist us, because he talks about the state, he talks about South Africa, and I thought this is a Northwest matter. And if you talk about this,
okay.
Like the land, for example, you say, no, the land for the animals is enough.
Okay.
It's so many hectares.
Okay. No, you're right.
I'm not sure.
Okay.
I'm
we'll do that.
Okay.
The land owned by Sakhba is about 2,000
okay.
hectares.
Okay, just a minute. Maybe let's allow him, Honorable Matale, to just present in the manner that they deem fit. I think it's giving a context,
yes,
national context, and reducing it to
yes.
provincial. So I don't want us to be accused of not allowing our invited guests to be given sufficient time to present as they want to present. But of course, bearing in mind that we are zooming into the provincial issues.
Yes.
But we don't want to restrict you in any way possible. If you want to give that context, you can do that, but be mindful of time.
Okay, thanks. Chair, I will now go into the heart of the matter because I have actually given the context. And the heart of the context was that the capacity for high-value species is within private hands. It's not within the state, period. And therefore, when we come to the issue of Sakhba, they own about 2,000 hectares. The 2,000 hectares is in terms of a fenced area that would allow wildlife to thrive. The heart of game breeding is the ability to feed them supplementarily, one. Number two, to be able to afford veterinary costs. And the people from the Department of Agriculture would understand that very well. So in terms of that, there is capacity in terms of land, there is capacity in terms of financial resources to feed animals during the bottleneck period. Like now, we're going through the drought. The ability to take them through that. And then number three, through trained staff that would be able to look after the animals. The key and the final one is in terms of security. The ability of our partners to provide security in terms of looking after the donated animals. And that so far, that has done very well. So there is a capital in terms of the partnership to look at this aspect of the game donation. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. In response to the last question 7, which is about the details of individual who constitute the South African Rare Game Breeders Association as a company that received donation. Chair, in line with the shareholding agreement that has been signed between SARGBA, the beneficiaries, and the employees, we have the following as members that constitute that the SARGBA. One, it's members of SARGBA is Mr. Mike de Kock, Mr. Henry de Kock, Mr. Willem Boshoff, and Mr. Hannes de Tweit. That's the South African Rare Game Breeders Association. Further to that, we have now, those are the people that would then, in terms of shareholding structure, own up to 50% of the shares as partners. And then the last 50% then would go then to the BEE beneficiaries, which have been named and listed. There's 5 of them. Mr. Manyati, Mr. Manamela, Mr. Makwela, Mr. Volmarans, and also Mr. Manyeni. To also, as part of the 50%, we also have the 40 employees for which a trust has been developed and signed off between SARGBA and the employees. So these are the, in totality, the beneficiaries then of the transaction, in as far as we know. Thanks.
Okay. Are you done, MEC?
Yes, thanks, Chair. These are the 7 questions posed to us by the Portfolio Committee. Jalewa.
Okay. Norle Wohile, Honorable MEC. I hope members were taking notes. So we'll just take the first round of questions and then allow MEC and the team to respond. And then, if necessary, we'll go to the next round.